Computer is behaving as though it's completely dead, like it has no power. And apparently with these model Macintoshes, if you have a damaged battery or you have a battery that's been completely or missing, it won't behave correctly.
Thank you.
And so a missing battery, when you plug it into power, automatically starts up the computer. But a bad battery, it's very random what kind of behavior it'll have.
I found out that my tap, I can order anything that Amazon sells. I also can get news. I can ask, what's her name?
Alexa.
I can ask Alexa any question possible. And she says, I don't know.
Oh.
I got Alexa on my new Kindle 10.
I'm not confident to say that just yet. Yeah. Because, I mean, just the peculiar behavior of turning itself on may be an issue. So I just need to give it some more thought and research before I determine.
So all
I give
the
you
all
a determination of what's going on.
Yes.
Can you get a new Asus battery down here?
Computer Club? Mm-hmm. Did it answer?
It's in a walk-in as opposed to having to order it?
No, not as a walk-in. I mean, you would look for that model
Alexa
battery
Wells,
online.
San Carlos Community Computer Club. Okay. Well, I got my sound off.
We're a little early, and we've got a smaller group today.
It does answer.
Stop this.
What was her answer?
I had my sound turned off because I turned my sound off at night.
I'm going to ask that about the polar bears and black bears.
Yes, go ahead.
Alexis, when is the San Carlos Community Computer Club?
They meet in California.
Up in the Bay Area.
There's a San Carlos, California.
Can polar
there
bears
is.
Mate
yeah.
with brown bears?
Yeah, I think they can.
Well, we're going to find out. We just had a debate.
But it's
yes, they can.
Yeah,
Ray is trying to find
like
out if brown bears and polar bears mate.
Hey, I don't have a life, okay?
Alexa.
Yeah, really, what did you have in mind? Where is this going?
Start a polar bear farm.
That's right. Well, a half-breed polar bear farm.
Says it couldn't find it.
I need an extension cable
yes,
so I can stick one right up here.
They are.
What?
Yes, they
yeah,
are.
Well, they are what?
I believe it.
Yeah. Off the southeast
See?
Alaskan coast.
What?
Interracial
also,
marriages and
they're
yeah.
doing it.
Bears?
I don't know why I knew that, but it sounded very familiar.
Ray, did you hear that?
What?
That's where pandas come from.
Oh, please. Even I know that's not right.
That's awesome. How do you think you get pandas?
Makes sense to me.
Well, pandas aren't real bears.
That's true. That I know.
They're more closely related to you.
Don't
raccoons.
Say that. You're going
to
give them a complex.
You're
not a real
panda
bear.
Bears are raccoons?
They're related to raccoons. Panda raccoons. It should be bone.
So what was it raccoons and bears can mate?
No. No. Makes the raccoons very mad.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Jealous?
Yeah. It's a suit waiting to happen.
What would you do with a raccoon the size of a polar bear? That would be...
I'll tell you.
Get new garbage cans.
People that adopt baby raccoons are so cute like that. And then when it becomes a 30-pound boar, they're in trouble. Tears up their house.
That's funny. I was watching a show last night, and that was one of the life lessons she was trying to pass on to her friend. One, you can't domesticate a raccoon no matter how hard you try.
Really?
Yeah. Haven't you seen that ad where the lady needs glasses or something? And she's going, here, kitty, kitty.
Yeah, she's coming through the cat doors. She's lucky she doesn't have scuffs coming in. Put it like that, I'm going to have to...
I'm putting you guys on camera.
I'm going to have to mind my behavior.
Probably get a TV show out of this deal.
That's right.
Not itch and scratch, though, man.
Don't hold your breath.
Hey, man, this is a TV show. Hurt my feelings.
The pay scale sucks, I'll tell you.
That's
that.
Right.
You gotta pay to be on TV.
Actually, everybody here's getting paid to scale.
We didn't pay what we're worth.
That's right.
It cost us 10 pesos every time we walked in here just to see you.
Hey, to be fair, I don't see any of those faces. We give them all.
I know.
We give them all the tequilas. Out of an old tradition that we wanted to maintain from the original computer club where we used to be there at Debbie's Cafe Internet.
Oh, God, remember? Yeah.
How long has this been going on?
Man, I have got audio recordings that go back as far as 2009. I that's how long I've been doing it as a podcast, is for the last 8 years.
What did you do before?
Oh, we would just meet. We just meet, and actually it was somebody named Molly that had suggested we try and put it online, and it seemed like a curious project to me, so I just started whittling away at it, and the 2009 podcasts really suck. They're really, really low audio quality. But, it's just growing out of that. And actually, I wasn't directly involved. It went back farther than that. It went back to, 2001, I'm thinking. Because we used to meet at the Yacht Club. And it was Jack Burns that was one of the founding people. Jack Burns and a guy named Jean Broham, who a Dutchman that used to live here. And they actually invited me to come and answer questions and help people with topics, and that's kind of how I got involved. Hmm.
Interesting.
I remember John. Hmm? I remembered him.
Do you?
It was like, how did you end up here? You know?
That's a familiar name, but I can't remember.
Well, he's a... ex-FBI agent.
Yeah.
He was a good friend. We did a lot of tech stuff together. Until he passed away.
Well, I have a question.
Well, we're up and going 4 minutes early, and we have anybody else joining us? Because I think we're ready to go. We could start.
Okay. My question is, if GPS is available in various ways, how can you, if you lose your car keys, why do they not have GPS in the little box?
Had a fun
I
week,
lost
didn't
my
you?
Hearing aids day before yesterday, and I looked all over and finally found that I just brushed up against one of the bushes in our house, and there they were. And but I thought to myself, why don't you have GPS included in the little things that you use every day so you don't lose them?
Well, I've heard advertised on the radio devices that you attach to your car keys, attach to your cell phone. Well, no, it works two ways. Yeah. You can find your car keys, but if you have the car keys, it'll tell you where your cell phone is.
Really?
Yes. Make the cell phone ring.
So this isn't GPS. It does incorporate GPS, but not the device itself. These devices that you've seen advertised and they've been giving discounts on are called Tracker. And these trackers, there's some other ones, but Tracker's the one that's had the really big push. And these are Bluetooth devices that have a battery, and you match them to your tracker service. And then anytime a Bluetooth tracker-enabled device comes within range, it reports the GPS location of that item. So it really relies on everybody using tracker. And it is amazing how many people have adopted to this technology. But you actually, if you've lost your keys in the house and you've got one of these trackers on it, then it's your Bluetooth on your phone, And it's telling you within a certain range where you're going to find your keys. The idea being maybe you get within 10 feet of them and you still can't find them. You can hit a button on your phone and it will ring that device. So you can listen for this ring trying to find your keys. And what Paul was saying is true. It works in the reverse. You can have a tracker on your keys and you're having trouble finding your phone. You can press a button on the tracker and it'll ring your phone so you can find your phone. As far as finding things throughout the world, it requires other people to have adopted to this technology, and their phones brush across tracking devices out there in the wild and report back where they've been found using the GPS in the phone that you have or the phone of multiple other people that are using the service. So say you lost your keys in Wymas, you may not know that until somebody in Wymas using tracker has virtually brushed across them and reported back their GPS location where they were found.
Bob, I have a practical solution for you. Buy a new car.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, that's...
Now, they talk about joining the tracker community.
Yeah.
You know, so like you say, if you build up enough devices, then...
This device that you're talking about, where is it available?
You can buy it online, but I've also seen it sold in places like Best Buy.
Lock the doors, but
yeah. There's a thing called Google. You put tracking in there.
Okay.
Or tracking devices, you know, because there might be competition too for that brand. So tracking devices.
This is the same thing that parents use to know where their car is.
Oh, in a parking lot?
I have a thing called...
when their kids are driving.
Oh.
I have a device called Automatic that plugs into the car computer.
That
tells me where it's been.
Gary just asked a good question. He was curious if that's only available while your phone, I think this is what you're trying to say, is that only available while your phone is in that location?
Or while the person is accessing, while the other Bluetooth is accessing the location.
So now I have to start carrying...
Yeah, and really the way this works is that the person that has stumbled across your keys does not know they have stumbled across your keys. They're a member of Tracker, and the app is in their phone, running, active, because that's how Tracker works. And when it comes across another Tracker device, it immediately reports that location up, and then it's forgotten about. And so there is no constant monitoring of that location. It's just that's the last place it was seen.
But does it report it to the cloud so that you could access
the new computer?
It reports it to Tracker in its cloud.
Not the new Lays,
you're
but the old Lays.
Tracker, it reports to you, we found
might
your
have
keys.
They've got all kinds of gizmos
location.
And fun things.
And so then you can go chasing them down.
So it's not
fun
just
store.
Is it?
Yeah, and especially if you know anything about, which I don't.
Yeah.
That's right. Like Paul was saying, it's a
tracker
community.
That's right across the street.
Yeah.
So it's virtue.
Oh. From the Lays Plaza.
How many people have adopted this?
Yeah, right.
Hey, let's formally start if you guys don't mind. This is the San Carlos Computer Club. I'm Scott Stimson, and our group's a bit spread out, but it looks rather large still. We get together on Tuesdays here at Tequila's and try and solve the world's tech problems together, holding hands, singing Kumbaya. I've shown up with a couple of topics. One that I think we ought to just mention just before we get started in anything else. Have you guys been paying attention to the FCC thing?
Yes.
The net neutrality thing? We talked about it a little bit last week. One of the real disappointments right now is that they have the majority. They have more Republicans than Democrats in their committee making these decisions. It's already been predetermined. Anyone that's commenting on this is talking like how it's already been lost. And so they're going to have a vote on the 14th. And I saw something very interesting this morning. that I thought you ought to be aware of. The Attorney General for New York is trying to get them to postpone their vote because it's becoming very clear that their comment process has become corrupted at the FCC, and that there has been millions of bogus comments that are being considered as being legitimate information. And because their rulemaking system relies on the comment process being genuine, that they need to stop and evaluate what has happened here. And the Attorney General of New York seems like an odd person to be doing this, except that they were able to show that identity theft in New York has happened specifically to make these bogus accounts. And so the Attorney General has a vested interest. What's that?
So it really is fake news.
Well,
it's
fake people. It's
fake people.
Fake people, yeah.
That's the next level.
So, if you were on a debate team and you had to take the side that you don't agree with, what's the reasoning for doing it? You have to take that total side.
You're right. If
what's
I was,
the reasoning
if,
for doing it?
Well,
with all that you know.
Yeah, from all that I know is that I need to lull us into a sense that everything will be okay.
No, that's not. You're on a debate.
I know, but the side you're asking me to take is you represent Verizon. Now tell us why we should do this.
Exactly.
Right, and
because somebody on the other side has some reason. And I don't know what that is.
Money.
So both sides have a reason. That's the purpose of a debate on one side and the other.
So there isn't a concrete reason that I can explain to you for why this is legitimate. The reasoning that they're using is that the internet was fine before this regulation. This regulation is an Obama-era regulation, and that the internet grew without this regulation. It's been very successful, and you can see examples in businesses like Twitter and Microsoft and Facebook and all the Uber. You can see these examples of these services that came up without the regulations. And so, in the merit of deregulating the government, this is just pulling back one more regulation. That's as close as I can get to what you're asking.
So what is it going to do? Is it going to affect security?
Well, it'll bring us back to the problems that we were facing during the Obama administration as far as what we were projecting into the future. And the issue that they were trying to protect, we were trying to protect ourselves from, was having information dictated to us by our service providers. And I know that's a little nuanced, but Probably the best way to look at this is that in the United States, we always say, vote with your wallet. That's true. You'd agree with that, Bob. If you didn't like a service, you wouldn't pay for
it.
And you would go buy from the competition. The problem is there's no competition right now.
Right. It's a monopoly.
And either in definition or literally, however you want to put it, it is the monopolistic practices that we're trying to protect ourselves from. If we were living in a world where you didn't like what your internet provider was doing, so you go over to another internet provider. If you didn't like what they were doing, you'd go over to another one, and so on. If we had this open free market of players we could choose from, then I think we would be against this regulation. The problem is that we don't. The reality of it is that we have one internet provider or maybe two internet providers in all our local areas. And what that means is that you can't vote with your wallet. You cannot make it clear to your provider how you feel about the way they treat your information simply by picking up and moving service providers. And that's what this regulation would prevent you from doing. It would continue this norm. I mean, the unfortunate thing from the Obama end, the FCC has not been fostering competition.
Right.
That's the biggest frustration. And if they're not going to do that, then what they need to do is protect us from monopolistic tendencies. And that's what the regulation is about, is protecting us from those tendencies.
So who protects us from the monopoly of Google, Twitter, Facebook?
Well, I feel like that's not the issue we're talking about right now.
But I think it's the other side of it, because I understand what you're saying. If Verizon controls all access, then Internet access, then Verizon can say, we're only going to allow this, we're not going to allow that. They become censors.
Well, I mean, to expand on that, Verizon owns Yahoo.
Okay.
So what happens if Verizon, they remove these restrictions and Verizon's pushing their search content? So you go to Google, all of a sudden Google's the second slowest internet provider, search result provider. Through no fault of Google or yourself, but only the internet pipe that you've chosen to use to bring you that information. And you start ending up being lulled over to Yahoo because it's so much faster. You're getting your results the way you want them.
AT&T.
Right?
Good example.
So that's a speed factor. I'm talking about content. Because they can control content as well.
Well,
which is what has happened on Facebook and on Google.
Well, that's where I think that's a different discussion. Sites.
Don't you think it's the other side of the coin?
Well, I'd like to comment on that because I've read on it. And don't forget, those are free enterprise, privately owned companies.
I understand. So was Standard Oil. So was Standard Oil. And so were the trusts. So were the trusts of the past.
That was antitrust and things that they had done to create the monopoly. And for example, power plants are monopolies, but they're government-approved power monopolies.
I understand. I'm just saying that if you equate that to privately owned, there were privately owned trusts, privately owned monopolies in the past that the government broke
up. That's the point.
For the sake of the fact of competition.
I don't think Verizon is a good example because you can get internet from all the phone cell phone companies. Not just Verizon, you get it from mobile, all of that have that ability. If I travel using cell phone internet from phone companies. The only reason I use Verizon is because it's there everywhere. And we have a choice here in Mexico. You have Telmex, you have Magic Cable. For the most part, not always, but generally.
Well, I think that's the point I was making, is you normally have one or two choices. I'll tell you what, Chester and the Ranchitos, where I live, I have one choice.
Right?
I have one choice.
I have two.
Right. Well, I mean, that's like choosing between Coke and Pepsi.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, well, what if you want tea?
Okay, in the legislation, it says they want to have free internet throughout the United States. The next breath, they say, that nothing will change. In Tucson, we've got Cox, Comcast, AT&T, we've got CenturyLink, we've got
DirecTV.
And DirecTV, yeah, well, that's AT&T.
No, yeah.
And yet in other countries, and I mentioned this about a month ago, in other countries they've got internet now for down to $5 a month. And I've been asking Ed, you know, because he works on TV, to get free TV, how can we get free internet? And I wonder about these cities that have Wi-Fi, free Wi-Fi.
Hotspots.
And I wonder if that's if that is just free.
In regard to the regulations, to me it's a lot like the elephant getting his nose in the tent. When you have the federal government making regulations that aren't needed and they interfere with free enterprise.
I appreciate that, Chester. I think that is a concern. I think that's the reason that my point was, if we had a level playing field, if we had a selection of internet in front of us and we could vote with our wallet, I don't think we'd be in favor of this regulation. I'm sorry, Mike, I know you've had a question for a while or something you wanted to say.
That's okay.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to mention it. They're voting on the 14th. There's some very interesting points of view out there. You can leave a statement. There's a couple of different websites out there that you can leave statements at. There's one called Battle for the Net. They'll write you a form letter. They'll you give them your name, address, phone number. They'll set up a phone call for you to your congressperson. There's another one called callmycongress.com. You put in your area code. No, I'm sorry. You put in your zip code, and they give you a list of all your congresspeople and the ways to contact their I mean, whatever side you're on, you should make it heard right now. Right now, most people are having a lot of trouble understanding this issue. It's easier to forget it. I think it's a serious issue. I'll state again, if we had more internet competition, I don't think this would be an issue. We don't have more internet, and that's the reason it's an issue. We don't have enough selections to make it. Dad, you want to say something?
Well, Scott, you probably understand this better than any of the rest of us. How would you vote if you were calling your office?
I would be in favor of the regulation. At this point, I would be. Well, then you better say something on one of these sites.
Well, they say that it's not going to change the regulation. But then in the next breath, they talk about free internet. And I don't see...
I don't think they're talking free like libre, or gratis. They're talking free like libre, like it's open, like everyone has open access
maybe that's
to
it.
That's really what they're talking about. And it's the reason that they're able to say that is because we're pulling regulations away. That's the only aspect of free that's being used there, is we're getting the regulations out of it so it'll go back to be in this open playing field. And that's just not the case.
So, Scott, who benefits if the regulation is repealed?
Large corporations.
No, which ones? Don't generalize.
Well, no, I mean, it's going to be your internet service providers that are in bed with content providers right now.
And they get bought by, or they buy each other. In other words, if one of the internet providers buys a creator of content, they're going to get the fast lane on that internet, and Netflix is not. So they can just pretty much engineer how this is going to play out, what you have for choices. And the problem is that when it was open, so much was created in the whole internet world, and if it's locked down to just the survival of the fittest of these, you know, 8 or 10 big companies, I think you're going to cut out a lot of access by really smart people who might not have the access or the wherewithal to compete with those people.
Let me give an analogy of something let me just state something real quick. Back in the 70s, there were just very few airlines. They controlled the airline. It was deregulated. Now you have Spirit, you have all these other airlines. What? You know, I see the deregulation. I want the maximum competition possible. It's okay. Never going to totally happen.
Go ahead, Judy.
Net neutrality is the way that the internet has always worked. And it's the basic principle that prohibits internet service providers like AT&T, Comcast, and Verizon from speeding up, slowing down, or blocking any content, applications, or websites that you may want to use. That to me says it all.
Whoever wrote that had, we all have a bias.
I know that's a bias, but I think that's kind of a concise what they're trying to say.
Concise bias.
Well, maybe.
Well, no, I mean, that is what net neutrality is your free access to whatever content. It's not biased by your internet provider, it's biased by you. And that's why I don't think the question of who benefits on the other side is really valid for this discussion, because the other side is not human, it's corporate. I mean, the value that we gain by maintaining this regulation outweighs any value this corporation's getting from the elimination of this regulation. The corporations that control the internet pipes have everything to gain, and we have nothing but to lose from losing control of this regulation. We need to deal with this issue at our levels, at the pipe coming into our house. the information that we're interested in. I'm really not worried about the stock prices of the corporation out there. That's not this issue.
Neither am I. I'm concerned about full competition. And I don't know enough about this. I'm just playing devil's advocate from this side.
Thank you, Gary. I get passionate. I'm sorry.
Even though you're passionate.
I have no problem with passion, as long as it's explained.
Yeah.
Isn't that what China is doing, Russia is doing in several other countries? They're limiting your access to free information.
Well, that's where the camel got in the tent.
Yeah.
Countries like that.
Yeah.
A certain amount of regulation is necessary. If I consistently call Ed a whore, you know,
wouldn't be wrong.
No. I'm serious.
How much? No.
That's going to be the title of my podcast, Ed's a Whore.
Morality.
That's live, wasn't it?
Okay.
Ed, what are you doing last night?
Let me say
it's a pretty good looking shirt you got there.
Morality.
Go on. He's driving a fancy car.
Living with people, you can't. There is evil in the world, and if I continue to say you're a whore, you know, people that works on your character.
That's
subjective. Wait a minute. You get on as a ham radio operator, and I am one, and you say things that are not appropriate, or you do things not where you're supposed to. They come down on you.
Not where you're supposed to compared to who says what you're not supposed to. Because if you go on and you say something that's totally against Obama or Trump or God knows what, and somebody determines that that's not what you're supposed to say, so it's what you're saying is totally subjective. When you're told that you can say or that you have this regulation or that regulation, it depends on your point of view. That's all I'm saying.
No, it doesn't. No.
Oh, no, it
you
doesn't.
You go to China and some of the countries in the world where there is, I mean, we have a morality problem in the United States.
Well, maybe
we should move off of this.
I just
wanted to make you guys aware that we got 9 days left before they're supposed to vote. I was really surprised by what the Attorney General did in New York. I thought it was a really interesting way to politic, to because they've been looking for information from the FCC and the FCC has not been working with them. They want to investigate this as an identity theft issue, and the FCC has not provided them with any information to help them with the investigation until the day they announced the press release. The press conference. And so it just goes to the tone of the FCC is a bit tone deaf at the moment. I mentioned Call My Congress. They'll give you a list of your Congress people. Battle for the Net. It'll actually set you up with a form letter and a script. I like John Oliver's. If you want to leave a comment at the FCC, gofccyourself.com. And at the
John
bottom
Oliver.
Of that page, you can contact the FCC with whatever comment you have.
Really?
Yeah, go FCC yourself.
The reason he did that is because if you go through the government front page, it's nested down about four layers of difficulty to get to the real page that where you leave the message.
If you want to leave a comment at the FCC in that vein, even gofccyourself.com takes you to a page that is so cryptic that do not read anything. Scroll to the bottom and you will see the contact us and all the different methods. But up at the top, it's all about finding out about what they're talking about, and there's nothing straightforward about communicating with them. It feels that way when you go there.
Anyway.
But let's let this go. I know it's a hot option.
GoFCC.com.
GoFCCyourself.com.
I think it takes me directly to FCC.com.
It's supposed to.
Oh, okay.
And then you scroll to the bottom of that page.
I'm having trouble understanding right now. Please try
to
understand.
Is that an Android tablet or a?
That's the new
Kindle HD 10.
All right, let's get your iPad up. We'll get Siri and Alexa in a big battle going back and forth.
Alexa doesn't like Siri. She's blonde.
And my Siri's a man, so yeah.
Talk to Siri. It's, take me to Amazon. Wait, I don't understand what you're talking about.
They're going to have a male one of these days that you can talk to.
I have one.
Who had a question?
I have one.
Oh, Chester, please.
Okay, I have these programs that I use every day, Quicken, antivirus, and they're always having pop-ups.
Oh,
every
yes.
Every time I turn my computer on, I get a pop-up wanting me to upgrade for $18 or whatever it is, and I don't want to upgrade. I like what I got. How do I get rid of those pop-ups?
Good luck on that.
Because they're embedded in the program.
I haven't looked at the latest versions of Quicken or QuickBooks, but I can tell you that the way that those worked in the past is that there was a preference under the update option with a check mark saying...
I checked that. It doesn't do any good. I ignore it.
I guess a phone call to Quicken is going to be necessary to get them to turn off. I mean, that's their whole business model is
not just
upping
Quicken,
the tier.
It's the others as well. Antivirus.
Just about anywhere you go.
Yeah.
New or upgrade.
Even if you buy your antivirus.
I did buy it.
Yeah, it's going to self-promote itself to the latest version. Hey, and let me say, I'm back to Windows antivirus is the best thing you could be running on Windows. The Windows Defender that's built into the operating system. I mean, it's kind of sad, you know, if you go back through that history... And it wasn't sad at the time because Microsoft was a hog that was just, you know, just devouring software companies. And so regulations stopped them from those anti-competitive practices, and they had to pull their antivirus out of their software. But technically, it makes a lot of sense to have antivirus as a component of the operating system. I would much rather be holding Microsoft responsible for whether something got into my computer than some third-party operating, or third-party antivirus.
It wasn't always that way.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There was a slight moment there where it was going to be, and then Microsoft got in trouble for Internet Explorer being included in their operating system. The Department of Justice investigated them for monopolistic practices. And the European Union actually forced them to pull Internet Explorer out of their operating system. And they had an antivirus that they were going to be including, and they had to specifically keep it apart as an optional download so that they would satisfy the requirements of the trouble that was being brought on them. But
so
now
with your regulations.
Yeah.
So your weekly cleanup or whatever you do, you use this Windows Defender instead of malware or whatever?
Yeah, well, no, I still... Now, here you go. When I'm solving problems, I still go to Malwarebytes. I don't think I've found a better one. Does anybody have a something for adware or spyware other than Malwarebytes? It just seems
Zamana?
To be... What's that?
Zamana.
Zamana?
Zamana.
Wow, I haven't even heard of that.
It's very good. And it'll also run... next to Malwarebytes, and it's picked up things that Malwarebytes hasn't.
How do you spell it?
Z-M-A-N-A.
C?
Z as in zoo?
Oh, Zebra.
Zimana. So this is a malware scanner?
Yes.
And you'd recommend it?
Yeah, I like it. I run it side by side with Malwarebytes.
Okay.
And actually, when I was troubleshooting somebody's machine, in order to fix it, it had malware. They recommended running Zamana first and let it take out the malware and then run Malwarebytes to finish the cleanup job on it.
Okay.
And it worked after I spent hours trying to solve the problem.
Awesome. Well, so the way I run things, I mean, and when you're dealing with these things on the internet, a lot of this is you have to make good decisions as you're on the internet while you're using your email. But I've been running with Windows 10, the default antivirus the Microsoft Defender, which is built into it. And then if there was a problem to solve, I would use Malwarebytes, and I'll check out this Zmana, too, to see how well it works. And I use CCleaner to clean up stuff, too, cleaning up the registry and things like that, defragmenting the registry, getting a little bit of a performance boost.
Is that the one with the toilet flush?
No, I have not used that since we've moved to Windows 10. I know the one you're talking about. What was it called? Cleanup. Cleanup with an exclamation point. I was very comfortable using that up till Windows 7, and then I stopped using it since then. I haven't even looked at it. Is it? Have you noticed if it's...
Yesterday my computer was running slow, so when I finished everything, I ran malware, and I ran that. I turned it back on, and it was fine.
Some of these older programs, like that cleanup specifically, was developed by a guy. They got very popular. But if that guy isn't updating it for Windows 10, I would be gun-shy using it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it might break something.
Sorry, Scott, what was that called again, the one you're using?
Malwarebytes and CCleaner.
CCleaner.
Yeah.
A free app?
Yeah, and I've always used the free apps. I haven't purchased any of these. They're really after the fact kind of things for me. The real thing is careful what links you click on in email, be wary of skeptical websites, make sure that your operating system is completely up to date all the time, make sure your web browsers are up to date all the time. Speaking of which, has anybody tried the latest Firefox? It's extremely fast. Firefox 57, they've got a different layout. But it's probably the fastest web browser right now on the market.
I did go to the one you mentioned.
There is no Zmana.
Say again?
I went to the one you mentioned a few weeks ago.
Opera?
Yeah. I like that.
That's become my default web browser in most circumstances.
What is the...
Yes.
When you're using Malwarebytes or Zmana or whatever, what's the procedure? Would you go in and use, like I use PC-Matic for my antivirus?
Pay for that?
Yeah, $50 a year for five.
I think
computers.
I mean, on a side note, I'm not ready to answer your question because I don't quite understand it. But on a side note, the antivirus makes sense in a corporate environment. It makes sense if you've got an office of a lot of computers in your life because you can buy a package that will manage all of them under one umbrella. So you can bring computers online and take them offline. You can do cleanings remotely. You can file reports. You can watch a virus hop across your network so you can see the behavior that's led to these infections. So in all those aspects, purchased antivirus makes sense. As far as us consumers, one device, two devices in our world, it makes less sense. Microsoft has provided a really decent antivirus, that it's in their best interest that it's up to date. It's in their best interest that it runs very fast and doesn't hurt the performance of your computer.
How often do you do this?
Well, Defender is running in my systems all the time. It's the same way you might run Panda, or you might run AVG, or you might run McAfee's. It's just running in the background. Defender is running in the background. In Windows 10, if you install a McAfee's or a Norton's, it will automatically turn off Defender and use that other package.
Now, AVG is the worst about the product.
Yeah, it's funny to go from one of our favorite antiviruses to one that this is the first time I've mentioned in the last year and a half.
Malwarebytes is no fun either when it comes to pop-ups.
Right, you do the install, and what it wants to do, if you're not paying close attention, is it wants to install the pro version. It definitely, regardless, wants to install so it's running in the background. And it will. It'll keep shooting you. If it installs the pro trial version, then as you approach the end of it, it'll keep shooting up pop-ups at you asking you to buy it.
Yeah, I installed it, and within a day or two, I said enough of that.
So, Bob, to finish answering your question, I might install Malwarebytes to verify that a system is clean or has a problem, take care of the problem, and then remove it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I wouldn't just leave it running because of things like Gary's complaining about. I've had those same complaints with this style software.
So you run your Defender or in my case PC-Matic first, and then go do a malware byte check. Is that which how you do it?
Well, I mean, has something prompted you to think that you've got an infection?
It's slow.
You see, I would, regardless of, I would think that Defender would have already told you it's got an infection if that's the result of the speed issue. I would run malware bytes in those kinds of circumstances. But normally something would be popping off that's making you feel like it's, like maybe Defender's not running.
Well, I know it's not running because I got PC-Matic.
Okay, well maybe PC-Matic's not running. Right? Maybe you get into the computer and you're like, it's slow, and look at this, the antivirus isn't running. Well, an antivirus not running in the first place really should be a red flag. Why isn't it running? It should be running. It should just. But one of the schemes that a virus will do is it'll look for antivirus and try and disable it as quickly as possible, so you're not aware it doesn't get found. And if it's really sophisticated, it can disable the notification that it's disabled. So you have to go looking for it in memory to see that it's not running. So I recommend with antivirus, whether it's Defender or PC-Matic or any of these others, make sure that you're aware of an icon that indicates that it's running and healthy. So you have something to go look for when you don't think your computer's running and healthy. Then after that, I would be... Here's my workflow is, I've got an antivirus, I've got reason to think a virus got in, that's the last antivirus I'm going to use. Right? If I got a computer in front of me and it's supposed to be running McAfee's, and I see McAfee's isn't running, I've reason to think that it's infected with it, I would not use McAfee's to scan the computer. I would go find another antivirus. I like Avast. That's a good one. I use that on the Mac all the time. I like Panda. But again, it's kind of after the fact kind of stuff here. And then I would use that to scan the computer. Not many people have the resources I do to deal with these problems. Many times I'll pull the hard drive out and stick it into another computer and run Defender on the hard drive. Right? I'll run whatever antivirus I happen to have handy that's up to date to that moment, because your computer can fight against you. If it is actually infected, it can, the infection may sense that you're trying to find it and float around the system, hiding itself in components. So a good way to avoid that is just to pull the whole hard drive and stick it in another computer where none of the software is active, and just go at it with an antivirus.
Question over there.
Oh yeah, Mike.
Back to Firefox. Were they the ones a year or two ago that were on their last legs and Google stopped funding them?
Yeah, they weren't necessarily on their last legs, but they had some security issues.
But now it's okay?
Well, yeah, I haven't heard of those issues cropping back up. They do those Black Hat hacker conferences, and they got a really bad reputation of being compromised very quickly. And I haven't heard that recently. And they're getting a lot of praise for this latest release.
Okay.
So if I do hear any more of that kind of stuff, I'll definitely be bringing it up.
Would that release have been installed automatically if you already have Firefox?
Yes, it would. You may want to look at the About. If you go into Firefox and you go into the menu, the help menu down at the bottom, there's an About Firefox. Actually, all the browsers do this now. If you bring up the About, it'll tell you the version, and if it's not the latest version, it'll indicate it's starting to do the update to the latest version. It should also, in Firefox, I think it gives you a status message too during that upgrade. Like, it'll say it's trying to upgrade it, and if something goes wrong, I think it tells you what went wrong in that message too. All in the About.
You keep all your operating systems like Chrome and Opera, and you just keep them all on there and just use Opera? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. With the exception, I reserve Chrome. You know, we do the bed and breakfast in Alaska, and I keep a lot of the stuff we do in bed and breakfast in Chrome. And so I use Chrome almost exclusively for bed and breakfast or for testing.
So it doesn't have any adverse effect on your computer having multiple
browsers? No. Finally, we're living in a world where the browser is just another application.
I have three on mine, but I go to Google just to get into my Gmail account.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's fair to use it like that. I mean, that's one of the reasons I use it for the bed and breakfast is because I maintain a Gmail account. And so my bookmarks and stuff like that can all go with me regardless of what device I'm using. I really like that.
What other subjects do you have?
Well, I had one other subject. Let me see what it was. Oh, I thought it was a funny one. It was a John McCain Twitter. Did you guys follow this story? This is awesome. So, you know, they just had the vote on the budget. Or not on the budget, on the taxes. Thank you. On the tax vote. And afterwards, John McCain's on Twitter, or his representative's on Twitter, and he tweets something like, we only need 74 more people before we have 3 million followers. Help us get these 74 people. I checked it yesterday. He now needs 22,516 followers to get to 3 million because there was a mass boycott of the John McCain Twitter account after the tax vote.
Good.
He lost 22,516 followers because of that comment.
Good.
I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's social capital. But it didn't make me feel warm inside when I saw it happen.
I don't have a question. I have an answer.
Oh, excellent.
And the answer, or the question that I'm answering is, what happens if Riscotti comes to your house responding to a call to them and the attendant for the ambulance does not speak English?
Thank you, Paul.
And the answer is, Medical Spanish by Mavro. This is for you.
Oh, this is the best topic today. And we were looking at this yesterday. Go ahead, Paul. I'm sorry. We were looking at this last week.
So it's an app, and it helps if you've had some medical training yourself. So if you were an EMT-1 or a nurse or a doctor, I was an EMT-1. So it presents you with a list of topics.
Can you guys see that down there?
Just see, I would pass it around, but you know what happens. As soon as somebody touches the glass, it goes to some other thing.
And
so,
what's the app?
It's Medical Spanish by Mauro.
Mavro.
Mavro, that's a V. M-A-V-R-O.
Yeah. And so I will pick one of these topics, chest pain. That's something that might happen.
Yes.
So when you look at this, it's got English and Spanish. And it's screening questions that EMT-1 would be asking you, such as on a scale from 1 to 10, being 1 being no pain, 10 being maximum pain, what number is your pain? So what you would do is point to this question to the attendant and answer 4 or whatever. You know, when did it start? So it says, cuando empezó, but not only that, I mean, this is intended for somebody that's an English speaker to screen problems with a Spanish speaker, because if you touch the Spanish sentence,
el uno, it's good. Al diez. Spanish.
Siendo uno, el mínimo dolor, diez.
So it's asking the question in Spanish. But so what I would do is reverse engineer it by pointing to the question and answering it in Spanish.
Yeah, I
as
actually
best as I could.
If you don't mind me interrupting you a little bit, Paul, when I was looking at this last week, what I saw was a menu that you can hand to the tech that can't ask you questions in English, and he can pick out the question that he's trying to ask you in Spanish and ask you in English. And then if you've got information that you need to relay to him, you could find the question, in English that relates the most to what you want to relay to them, and you can choose the Spanish for it, so they know what you're talking about. I think the biggest value this is it's medically based. So you're not dealing with like Google Translate. You're dealing with like those 10 questions that everyone's trying to answer in medicine. Or I don't know how many questions there are here, but you get what I mean. Like the 90% of the things that somebody that's trying to help you needs to know is in this list. And so it doesn't matter. You end up in EAMS or you end up with somebody that's not used to dealing with English speakers.
Yeah.
I think it's probably one of the best recommendations we've had recently.
So I also have an app where you say, where's the nearest hotel? And it answers, it translates to one of, 50 languages that question to somebody else. And so if they had the same app, they could reverse it.
Oh, okay.
To translate from their language to English, and you could have a conversation between your cell phone.
You know, we use Google Translate in the bed and breakfast all the time because we've got guests that come from foreign countries and we're having trouble.
And that's something where you can speak to it and it translates?
Yeah, I mean, it's not dead on easy, but it's definitely in a storm, it's great.
Yeah.
I mean, all of a sudden we're communicating, whereas before we weren't.
Sign language.
Google Translate works good.
Yeah, the translation app in Google. Anyway, this app I would totally recommend. It seems like all of us should have this on our mobile devices because you could find yourself in a situation where they're having trouble communicating and you could pull it out and instigate that communication easily enough. It seems like an app that makes sense for all of San Carlos to have on their mobile devices.
Is Google Translate an actual app?
It is.
So there, you can put it on your phone.
You can download Google Translate. And that's what I was going to go into is Google Translate does stuff like you can hold your phone up to a sign and it will translate into your language from that sign. And it'll superimpose almost the same font. I mean, it almost changes into a sign in your language. It's a bit magical. It's one, when you're using that app in that form, you're like, this is magic. This is just a black box of potions making magic.
I find Google Translate great on verbs and on nouns, but on sentence translations, sometimes you can get lost in the wilderness.
I have to use Google Translate a lot in the work that I do, translating sentences, because I have to write essays of stuff at times. And I find it fairly good. Some of the tips that I have is on Google Translate, there is a reverse button. So after you've written your English, your three paragraphs of work, reverse it and see how their translation plays back into English. And you'll find English is hard to translate.
Okay.
And you can change, I mean, it doesn't feel fair, but you can change your wording to better meet
idioms.
Yeah, you can pull your idioms out of it and make it much more straightforward language so that it translates correctly. You won't sound in touch with the culture, but you'll definitely be understood. Yes?
That reminds me of a funny story. Some years ago, on a ship, a lady named their Nova.
Oh, the Nova?
So if they had done the backward look at what that meant in Spanish, no go, well, there was no Spanish sales of that vehicle.
Nova, yeah.
I think it's interesting. There's so many, even if you understand Spanish, you think about it, even in English, people don't understand medical language. Mm-hmm. People don't understand legal language.
Plumbing.
Yeah.
It's or a whole computer language.
Every profession's got its own language.
Mm-hmm. Well, its own vocabulary.
You're saying computer.
Yeah.
If you rely on engineers to ask you questions on the internet or something like that, you'll never understand it. You get your camera and you're looking for your pictures in your camera on the chip, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What about DCIM tells you that it's images? Some engineer, that was before when they could only have 9 characters in a title, and they said, well, let's see, it's a digital image, something, something, That's DCIM, okay.
Right. I think it's something like digital capture image media, something of that nature.
Don't
yeah.
try to find a video.
Well, you guys have exhausted my topics. Do we have anything that people would like to... We've still got a few moments here.
Who came up this morning... getting dressed, listening news in the background. There's a, and it may be Facebook, is coming up with a new, I guess, app just for kids, 13 and under.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this Facebook Messenger app. I was listening to that this morning, too. It is Facebook that's done.
It is Facebook.
And I heard some tech reviewers talking about it this morning, and what some of the things they liked about it, most of them said, I don't think I would let my kid use this app. Just because 13 seems like a very fair date for them to be getting it. 13 years old seems like a fair age for them to be getting into this, and before seems a little early to be getting into this. Yeah. But they felt like it was done with the right intentions. And what they liked about it was when they do turn 13, it doesn't look like there's any push to get them into Facebook. It looks like this app is kept separate from Facebook. So there isn't a tie-in between the community that exists on Facebook and this community of kids that are thought to be messaging each other.
Well, I think they're promising to do good monitoring. Mm-hmm. And that's the key to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would think getting in that, what a scary market to get into. You would have to be
right on top of it.
Right, because there's so much opportunity for it to go wrong. Yeah.
With everything, there's a chance for abuse and a chance for use. So
I mean, they've got to have a way to tell that you're not some 40-year-old guy that's trying to pick up, you know.
Or 13-year-old.
Right.
Like, capital punishment work.
Rory Moore would have to change his name and get a new picture.
This club's going downhill.
But I do know you're watching Fox.
But so that was the general commentary I heard, was that it, if they were going to do this, it looks like they're doing it in the right manner. And at the same time, they're like, I don't think I would let my kids use this, though. I'm not interested in them getting into this at such an early age.
I think that's kind of naive. Mm-hmm. I mean, judging by my own family, there are 8 and 10-year-olds out there that are texting and leaving messages.
Well, another stipulation on this that was kind of interesting was that they could not friend friends that you were not friends of their parents.
Okay.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how are they going to do that?
Well, yeah, it's got to have some kind of tie to Facebook. Like, you declare this is your child, and so when this child... So they're using that database to determine whether they can hook up with another child with the messenger. Then it's got to be able to compare your relationship with their parent. It may even be one of those where they can see the other child and go, this child needs to get it approved by their parent, which means their parent has to friend you so that their kids can chat with each other.
I don't think many of us in here have that problem.
No.
I have something. For all of you that live in for all of you that live in San Carlos, we're going to have a new commissario.
Oh, yeah? Finally?
Yes. And he's established a number of committees. One is water and sewer. Another one is services, which is electricity, lighting, and roads. There are several other committees that he has established. And if you were to improve San Carlos, how would you do it?
Man, I want to know where the streetlights are on I and H on First Street in the Ranchitos. I saw that on the San Carlos board, but I'm still living in the dark.
Do you want to live in the light?
What do I need to do to get my street lights working?
You call the number on the San Carlos board. There's a number there you can call.
Right.
And it costs you 150 pesos or something like that. You have to buy the light.
Well, we're already paying for the light.
Doesn't matter.
The bulb itself.
Doesn't matter.
If you have a light up there and the bulb's out, You pay for the bulb, and the guy will come out and install it for free, and the city paid for the light.
How much is the bulb?
It was fairly minor. I don't know.
Yeah?
It's not bad.
I guess I didn't understand that from the post. If that's all it takes, I'll call.
You have to go back to the beginning of the post.
Okay.
And it'll tell how much it costs, and Ruben's been handling it.
Yeah, the question was, who pays electricity? Yeah.
The city pays the electricity. Yeah.
No, you pay for it. It's on your bill. That street light, it's on your bill. There's a street light tax on your bill.
You're already paying for it.
That's right. I'm already paying for it. There's no light.
You have to report it, basically.
No, it's definitely been reported. Definitely been reported.
Years of reporting. Yeah.
So you have not climbed up there to put
I don't know if you're familiar with my office, but they do a lot of just reporting stuff for people. All we do is report telephones, report water, report electricity.
Well, the reason I mention this is that all these committees are being activated. They were supposed to have happened before now, but as it is in Mexico, doesn't happen. Now, one of the goals is, with all the committees, and that is not to be consistently doing it every year, but to work themselves out of a job. Like, for instance, they have this cleanup group, and they've never thought about educating the people to clean up their own trash. Okay? They've never thought about it. They just plan on continuing the cleanup. And maybe some of you are a part of that. But it's an education process.
Well, they have signs saying, take your trash home.
Right.
And they're talking to the elementary school. I mean, that's a generational thing.
There
too.
Is. You have right.
To. Well, that happened to us in the States.
Yes, exactly.
But and it was the Indian crying on the river. Were that commercial?
Yeah.
That was changed the whole thing.
But this Thursday night at Deportivo, Club Deportivo, Al's last name, he's going to report on the state of the water and the sewer system in San Carlos.
On the 7th.
It's the 7th?
Yeah.
His report is just very enlightening, too.
Yeah, this Thursday. And so he is going to speak in English, and he has a counterpart that speaks in Spanish, and to tell us about the wells and maybe desalinization in Empalme and stuff like that.
Who is it?
His name is Al. He's in the burning club.
He's in charge of the water and the sewer committee.
Yeah.
Also a topic on that.
Do we know what time that's starting?
7, I think.
7 o'clock.
I'm
just making a quick note.
Whether or not they're diverting water, San Carlos water, into Guaymas, and there'll be a discussion. They're supposed to offer proof or that it is being done or actually prove that it isn't at the meeting. Because that's a lot of the problems with the lower pressure. People say that the water is being diverted to Guaymas Norte.
Yeah. What time is that meeting?
Checking on that.
Seven. I'm going to say 7.
7 o'clock Thursday.
7 p.m. or
a.m.?
P.m.
We're not up at 7 in the morning.
Well, somebody has to go there and represent. I can't. It's my daughter's birthday that night.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's your birthday. He's a good speaker, and he's fair.
Morgan, I won't be there.
It's what?
I'm picking
he's
up.
He's fair. He sees both sides of the issue, and he has worked with the water company for months now, months and months and months. And he sees the issue from both sides, including
he's realistic in knowing how much money's out there to be worked with.
Yes, and also kind of how this branch of them has absolutely no clue on public relations or, you know, he'll verify all of that and explain a lot of what's going on.
Oh, on the same vein of explaining what's going on, I've got a little tidbit insight on reporting to Telmex problems with your phone line. I have learned that if you already have a report in for your phone line, there's a very good chance the next time you call, you'll get a busy signal or a disconnect.
Oh, really?
So you go in person.
No, I'm just saying, if you've gotten a report number, if you're already in the computer, there's a very good chance your follow-up calls are being disconnected or they're getting busy signals.
You don't get to talk to Slim?
You don't get to waste their technical support one more time. Because there's already a report in. And in my imagination, I'm speculating that the call center just sees the number you're reporting and says it's already got a report and does whatever it wants with the call.
Carlos, you won't call me back. Why don't you call me back?
Work, you're calling from your neighbor's phone.
Right. Yeah. No, that's absolutely true. But if your internet isn't working,
they wouldn't be able to report a problem with their phone either.
Well, you specify what numbers under report. And that's how I started getting enlightened to this, is I would start making reports from my cell phone or a neighbor's phone and had instant satisfaction. And I would try and report it from the line in question, and I was immediately getting disconnected.
How about using Twitter?
So
getting disconnected with like a busy signal.
How about Twitter?
Twitter? Well, you could try that, I guess. I've never tried that with telnets. You
tried that with a water company.
It worked on Facebook until everybody was doing it, and everybody became numb to it, and they didn't care whether people said bad things on Facebook.
I don't know why you say this. There's not much water because what's stupid. There's artesian wells all over the town.
Yeah.
Coming up through the through the pavement.
That's right.
Go ahead.
There really isn't an oasis that actually exists in the desert. Those are all just plumbing problems.
I thought it was an artesian well.
They move around.
Ray, what were you going to say?
Oh, just before everybody leaves, if anybody wants some limes, I've got gazillions of them in the car.
Really?
Yes, please.
You got any gin?
Yes.
It's later.
Oh, hold on. So we
after
got
I
quite...
pay for you.
Well, we have just a couple of minutes. What is it? We'll funnel out of here if it's
when
not.
When I'm trying to open the YouTube video, the window comes up. Your browser does not currently recognize any of the video formats available. However, I open it in Google Chrome browser. So why does that come up? And I can't find a setting to change that.
Have you tried it in a different browser? Are you on a Mac or a PC?
PC.
So have you tried it on Internet Explorer or the Edge browser? One of these other, just to verify that you get the same kind of a response.
No, I haven't.
Because that would be good to know. It'd be good to know if it's just Chrome doing that. If one of the other, because then you would be able to isolate it to a Chrome problem.
I used yesterday. I didn't have any problem with Chrome with Gutenberg.
Well, it could be a plugin. It could be a broken Chrome thing. It could be that Chrome needs to be reinstalled. But if you're having the same experience across other browsers, then that might be a Windows problem. It might be something to do with the Windows codecs that are available. To the best of my knowledge, there shouldn't be any special setup to be able to look at YouTube videos. That's why my first thought is maybe it's just Chrome that's broken.
I used it yesterday, too.
Oh. That's coffee, not a question. Does that help?
Yes.
Yeah.
I noticed my router is becoming disconnected more often. I get up in the morning and the little green internet lights out. So I just pull the plug and plug it back in and it resets.
Who else is having this? I'm having this. I'm totally having this.
This was last night.
What is it up, sir?
Where the router just for some reason it might say it's got DSL, but
exactly.
It won't say that it's got internet. And the only fix is to unplug it, wait 10 seconds, and plug it back in.
I can't even wait that long. I got to do it right now.
Well, I've got it. You've got it. Where are you living?
I'm in Del Mar.
Caracol.
I'm in the Ranchitos. I don't know what's going on. I think it's a Telmex thing, though. I don't think it's a...
And you've used your one phone call this month, right?
Well, it's a difficult problem to report at the moment because it's random, and the moment you reboot it, it's gone. The rebooting is one of their scripted troubleshooting, right? So the moment you get to the reboot and it's working, they're like, all right, great, you're set, it's working now. And what this is a prolonged problem that spans months of randomly losing. I've had the experience sitting here talking to you folks. I've lost my connection to my home where the audio feed is going out. And there is no fix but for somebody to physically go there, unplug it, wait, and plug it back in. So at this point, I think we should monitor. I think we've got...
Have you tried just waiting a bit and seeing if it doesn't come back?
Yeah, and it doesn't.
And it didn't?
Does not come back.
See, last night mine did.
It came back?
I couldn't get email. I couldn't get anything. It showed I was connected, Wi-Fi and all that. I turned off my iPad, turned it back on. So I just thought, oh, it's an iPad problem.
Okay, well, here's what... There's three of us, right? Mm-hmm. There's nobody else that's experiencing this right now?
I have, but not lightly. Oh.
When you have this problem, mm-hmm. go to your router, look at the lights. Mm-hmm. My problem is I see I have a DSL connection, mm-hmm. but there's no internet.
All lights are on mine except the internet light.
Except for the internet light.
Which blinks, right?
Which what that means at our level is that you're connected technically, but you're not allowed. For some reason, you're not allowed. And it's the equivalent of you don't have the right password.
I won't look at porn anymore.
This is how your modem looks when you don't have the right password in it.
You're just awful.
Why don't we just make it? I'll make a note of the exact time.
Okay.
And if you guys wouldn't mind trying to do the same thing, if you're experiencing
don't
that
call
same
me
problem.
After 9.
Yeah.
Well, it would be really interesting to know if we're all having the same effect at the same time.
Yeah. That'd
okay.
Yeah, because if we are, then we might be able to narrow it down to a very specific service that's failing, and that could be reported.
Talking about services, if you have Mexican people that you would like to learn a little bit of English, and Ed has been working with several people for a service on Wednesday night at the community church, and it's all in Spanish, okay? And tomorrow, it's free ice cream.
Oh, well.
It'll get them.
That sounds great. I don't know what we're talking about, but I heard free ice cream.
Isn't that right?
It's ice cream and cookies tomorrow night. It's servicios en español, which she hasn't attended yet.
Wait, did you say cookies and ice cream or? You guys might see me tomorrow.
Bring your wife.
I'll bring my
wife,
kids.
Isn't your wife?
They'll be like, aren't we going to Thrifties? It's like, no, we're going to the church.
Right, absolutely. Bring your kids.
So my suggestion is just bring a friend.
Bring someone you need to pray for.
You want lemons or limes? You want limes? Would you like some limes?
I would take some limes.
I would like some.
I know you would. That's what I said.
Okay. Well, guys, thanks
so
for joining me again. This has been the San Carlos Computer Club.
You'll
I'm Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions.
I have to pay.
And once again, I would appreciate it if you get a hold of me.
Maryland,
if you have computer problems or looking for help or advice, get a hold of me through the internet, internationalcs.net. You can email me at scott@internationalcs.net.
Ooh.
The Computer Club meets every week, Tuesdays from 9:15 to 10:15.
We actually been going to his office.
Wow, I'm looking at this picture of me. I definitely need to shave. I got way too much hair. We meet here at Tequila's.
Yeah, we love it.
Big mop coming, too. We meet here at Tequila's every Tuesday from 9:15 to 10:15. They're pretty awesome with us. They've got awesome internet, so that's a great reason to be here. They got great food. A lot of people show up here at 8:30 in the morning, and they do breakfast before our meeting. Come on a Tuesday, come early, eat great food, and join us for our meeting. Everyone is funneling out of here. So I'm gonna write this meeting off. I guess we're done. Everybody, tech on. I'll talk to you next Tuesday. Goodbye.
So it took me 3 weeks to get my internet, and I talked to the technician, and he said the guy in charge of wire distribution was Robin Peter. Pay Paul for lines like that.